Well, we've been talking about pressing on, pressing on. Even through disappointments, even through sickness, even through challenges, financial, relationships, whatever you face. 2020 was full of those type words. And I feel like the Lord wants to encourage us as we enter in actually through the second half of the second month of the new year. We're moving on. But I believe that the Lord wants to encourage us so that we know that He's the God of every situation that we face. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your love and grace that pushes us forward, that gives us the grace, Lord, to grow. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you that you're our Father, that you love us. Pray that you'll anoint our ears to hear your word and a heart that will follow after you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. This is part four. The first week we talked about pressing on by forgiving. So we know that God doesn't do all the work. There's some things that we have to do to press on. Talked about forgiving. We talked about helping others and doing what God has called us to do. And then last week we talked about Jesus being thoughtful of his own mother as she stood and watched him hang on the cross. And today, as we continue this lesson, we see that Jesus went through some agony, through some pain, and through an experience that we probably will never ever face physically. The pain that he dealt with and his attitude through that pain. I believe that we can also apply this principle today, as we'll talk in the next few moments, of what Jesus did. Jesus asked a big question while he was hanging on the cross. Can you imagine? Jesus, knowing everything, had been through everything, he asked his Father a question found in Matthew 27:46, the last part of that verse. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus asked God, why? Have you ever asked why? Why? Remember when Josh and Jordan were young? Josh just celebrated number 34, and Jordan celebrated number 30 last November. We've already told them we're not getting any older. Y'all are getting older. So we've got four grandchildren to prove that they're getting older. But when Josh and Jordan were given instruction when they were young, when they were walking around the house, they were about 4 years apart, we'd give them instruction, and one question that we could always count on hearing was this word, why? And our answer, we perfected it very well. We said, because we said so. And so just because we ask why doesn't mean that God always gives us the answer. But it's okay to ask why. You know, we trained our children, don't ask me why, just do it. But as we get older, we understand that's a natural question, even as adults. Why? What's going on? Why this? And so we ask sometimes so that we can find out, is this really necessary? Why? Can't we get around this some other way? Can't we deal with this situation some other way? Why? Or maybe we can negotiate. We have some grandchildren that are great negotiators. And they want to negotiate. Is this really necessary? And if it is, can we alternate for another option here? One that's a little more comfortable, a little more fun. Why? Well, today is Valentine's Day, and one word summarizes today. One word defines what Valentine's Day is, and that is love. L-O-V-E, love. Speaking on Valentine's Day, I'm going to invite my young wife to come join me. She was up here for a reason, more than to look pretty. Crystal has been my wife. We'll be celebrating 23 years. I'm sorry. on the February 23rd. See what happens?
Our son's 34 and our daughter's 30.
Well, okay, miracles happen. Mary gave birth. So we'll be celebrating 36 years on February 23rd.
Yes.
36 years. And 4 years before that, I think you said it was really technically 3.5 years. She's more of a, I say 4 years because I was 14 and she was 16. And we were I was 18 when we got married.
Yes.
And you were 20.
Yes.
So that's 4 years. So we celebrate 36 years, but 4 years before that,
we met.
Right. And Crystal, have you ever asked why?
Yes.
You have asked why. Not specifically about that, but we were at a church youth group when I was 14 and she was 16, and I remember sitting on one side of the fire playing acoustic guitar, Crawford, singing some songs. We were with a youth group, and my youth pastor had asked me to bring the guitar. We could sing some songs, and lo and behold, here she comes walking around the opposite side of the fireplace, right in my view, and I just watched her as she walked by. She didn't know I was on the face of the earth. But from that moment on, I knew that I was deeply in love with Crystal. And so will you share with us some, maybe a situation that comes to mind when you asked why and what happened? What was the benefit of that why?
Well, Mike, this past Monday, Mike said, "Oh, baby, by the way, I want you to help me Sunday with the sermon." And I'm like, "Well, what? Because, you know, we've done that before, but it's been a while." And he said, "Yeah," he said, "but, you know, we'll talk about it later in the week." So I honestly forgot about it, and I guess I was hoping that he had. And Friday, he told me what he wanted to do. So since Friday, I've been thinking about when I've asked God why, and when the biggest why of my life came. And that was after we had been dating, and it was the day after Mike's 18th birthday. A lot of you know this story, but some of you don't, so I'll try to quickly go through this. But the day after his 18th birthday, he was lying in his bed watching a basketball game, I think, and his heart started just going crazy, racing. Long story short, they took him to the hospital. He was going into cardiac arrest. They took him to Emory University. I went with his dad and stepmom, and he was in the hospital there for a little over a week, and came back home, and he'd be home a few days, and the doctors from Emory called his parents. Well, actually, the doctors from Emory called his doctor in Brunswick, and they called his parents in. And so after the meeting that his dad and stepmom had with the doctors, they called me and said, "Are you home?" And I said, "Yeah." And they said, "Are your parents home?" I said, "Yeah." And they said, "We need to come talk to you." So they came in. I'll never forget the day. They came in and they sat in the living room, and his stepmother looked at me and said, "Well, Michael's going to die." And I lost it. I mean, I just lost it. And they went on to say that the doctors said that his heart was enlarged and he had all these issues. And, you know, if he survived, he would live 3 to 5 years at the most. And so Mike and I went through we started trying to process this. He couldn't be left alone. They told him he would never work again in his life. The doctor said, "You may as well just go ahead and apply for disability." We'd been dating, you know, 3.5 years, and we decided we were going to go ahead and get married, so we got married the following February, but I remember, before we got married, I remember right after this, one day, I was in the shower at my parents' house, and I remember I was just standing there with the water poured over me, and I was like, "God, why? I have served you all of my life. And Mike has served you all of his life. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to us? We want a life together. We want a family. Why, God? God, what do I need to do? Can I do something, God? Is there something I can do so that you will make him live?" But I didn't get any answers, obviously. But we pressed through and we went ahead and got married. And we went into marriage with a lot of baggage as far as we didn't know if he was going to survive. And back then he did have a lot of issues. We'd be out to eat, you know, we'd be sitting there eating and his heart would take off and he would grab me and my heart, you know. And so we learned the scripture that really helped me, you know, in the Bible, I'm trying to open my phone, 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, walk by faith, not by sight. We truly went into marriage walking by faith and not by sight, because if we had dwelt on the news that the doctors were saying, we didn't have hope for a future. I mean, we had maybe 3 to 5 years. In fact, I remember his grandfather was like, let them get married. I know they're young. Let them get married, because let him enjoy what little bit of time he's got. You know, I mean, everybody accepted that. Mike never really accepted that. I mean, he was like, you know, this is what the doctors say, but we're going to go on. We're going to move on. So we went into marriage with that. We went into marriage with heavy financials. The day we got married, his hospital bills were handed to us. We had to be responsible for those. But good has come out of that. Do you want me to go ahead and go into that?
You may as well. You're here.
Good has come out of that, because, you know, when you're young and young married, sometimes it's kind of awkward praying together, you know? I mean, I know for us, you just feel weird sometimes praying together. We've done a lot of premarital counseling, and a lot of people say that, but because of Mike's health issue, Crystal got real comfortable praying for Mike out loud, you know, because when he would have an issue, I would start proclaiming, God, your word says, and I would speak that over him. You know, God's blessings in our life have been great. The doctor in Atlanta, Doug Morris, probably 5 or 6 years into our marriage, one day and we were paying $10 a month to these bills because we were advised as long as you pay something, they can't do anything. So $10 a month we were paying. One of his medicines was $400 a month because there was no insurance. They didn't have any insurance on him. So we had to pay out of pocket $400 a month for the medicine that kept him alive. So, I mean, money was tight. So we were probably 5 or 6 years into marriage, and we get this letter from Dr. Doug Morris in Atlanta at Emory University that says, your bill of how many thousands of dollars, it's been forgiven. And we were like, that's God. God has always been so faithful to us. So even today, you know, Mike goes to the doctor every year, supposed to go every 6 months to a year. And every time he goes, he went recently, and I know a lot of you know this, and he had the stress test, and his doctor's like, man, get off of it. He said, healthy people can't do what you're doing. He said, but Mike, your heart, you're not even supposed to be able to walk without giving out a breath. He said, I don't know how you do this. And Mike's like, I know how I do this. And his daughter does too, because he always asks Mike. Yes, praise God. But his doctor does. He asks Mike, he says, you still pastoring? And Mike's like, yeah. So, I mean, God uses that. But when we get the news that, you know, you really shouldn't be here, Mike, your heart looks really bad. He told Mike the other day, he said, your heart's shaped like a football. You know, I just don't understand, Mike. When Mike told me that, that Dr. Jones said that, for maybe 10 minutes, I was like, oh, Lord, what if something happens to Mike? And then I'm like, I can't go there. We walked 36 years, well, plus, living by faith, walking by faith. We're not going to look at what the doctor says. We're going to walk by faith. And that's why Mike is still here. There are two other times that I have been to that point with God. And it's when Mike was 18 when he had his heart attack, his first heart attack. And our son was 19 years old when we got a call. It was spring break, first day of spring break, and he was out riding four-wheelers with the youth group. And I had just talked to Josh, and he's like, we're going to make one more run, Mom, then I'm coming home for dinner, you know. I had run to the school to pick Jordan up. She wasn't driving yet. When I got home, there was a message on the answering machine from one of Josh's friends, hysterical. And he was like, Josh has been in an accident. I don't know, you know, all this stuff, you know. So I immediately called Mike. It was tax season. He was at the office. I called Mike and told him. So I said, I'm headed to Brantley County. That's where he was. And I was hysterical. And he said, you stay home. I don't want you driving. So on the way home to pick me up, he called the guy that owned the property and said, what is going on? He said, Mike, all I know, he said, I'm not there. All I know is I got a call and it's bad. He said, Josh is alive, but that's all we know. So when we got there, which while he's headed home to get me, I started calling my prayer partners, telling them what's going on. And I remember getting down on my knees in the kitchen. And I said, God, you promised me that this child, we pray for him before he was even conceived, and that he would be healthy and whole, and that you had a call for his life. God, you promised that he would be okay. God, we plead the blood of Jesus over him. So I just called God out on his promises. Was I nervous and afraid and all this stuff? Yes, I was. But I know who is in control, and that is God. So we get there, and when we get there, they had Josh in the ambulance. And when we walked in to see him, there was blood just all over his face. It did not look good at all. And, of course, Mama is wanting the paramedic to console me. So I'm like, but he's still going to be okay, isn't he? And she said, well, we can't tell you that. And I'm like, but is he going to be okay? She said, I can't tell you that. And I'm just like, Mike, and you know. But even through that, Joshua had the Lord in him, and he was very disoriented at that moment. But the moment he saw us, he said, with tears in his eyes. Now, he's broken. His shoulder was broken. His leg, you know, out of socket. And his first words to us was, Mama. He said, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get hurt. Because he is such a compassionate guy that has God in him. And, you know, God just, you know, they took him to the hospital. And they did x-rays and MRIs. And they said, you know, we really thought he was going to have a brain trauma, but he's got a sinus infection, and that's all that showed up. And we're like, well, thank God for that. No, he had to have surgery. He had to be in a wheelchair for 3 months. But even through that, God carried us. But for that, it was a little bit different, because with Mike was my heart and my love, but you know, as a parent, there's a different love you have for your children that's a more protective love. And Mama's supposed to be able to fix it. And Mama's supposed to be able to protect her babies. And I couldn't. So through that, I learned to release a little more. God taught me that, you know, Crystal, when Josh was born in his first Sunday back in church, and you and Mike had him dedicated to me, you said that you were giving him to me. Now, did you mean it or did you not? So I had to get real with God, because he is getting real with me. And I said, yes, God, I do. I do trust you. And Josh is perfectly fine. He walks perfectly fine. He's a worship leader. He just got ordained last Sunday at his church. He's a man of God. And then Jordan, our daughter, she couldn't let Josh outdo her. So when she was 19... No, when she was 20, she was at Christ for... Am I going too long? I'm sorry.
No, perfect.
She was at Christ for the Nations in Dallas, Texas. Her best friend's father passed away. She just happened to be home for that. She started having severe headaches. We wound up taking her to the hospital. Here, they did MRI. They found that she had a tumor. They had to lie flat her to Emory in Atlanta. And we couldn't fly with her because there was not enough room. And, you know, they said, y'all need to drive along. And, you know, of course, Mike and I are like, you know, I'll run home and pack our stuff so we can leave the minute that y'all leave with Jordan. And it was such a critical situation. The nurse said, you know, I really wouldn't leave to go get your stuff. I think I would wait, because they didn't even know if she would make it. So they flew her to Atlanta. A few days later, she had brain surgery. Going into brain surgery, Jordan was praising God, singing in tongues, going in. But I remember before we got to that process, I remember Mike had, everything always happens during tax season. It was tax season. He had to come back home to take care of a few things at the office. And I remember one night I called Mike and I had reached my limit. I had got to the point where I couldn't pray. And I knew God had saved Mike and I knew he'd saved Josh, but here's my baby girl. It's before surgery and I just didn't know. So I called Mike and I remember they didn't have a room for me to stay in. So I was staying in the room with Jordan. And there was a bathroom down the hallway that I had to shower in, you know, if you can call showering in the sink, you know. But so I went to that bathroom and I closed the door and I sat on the floor with my back to the door. And I called Mike and I said, I can't do this. I can't do it alone. I said, I feel like God doesn't hear me right now. I just can't. And he started consoling me. But God just came in at that moment. And he just wrapped his arms around me. And he's like, Crystal, I've got you. I've got your baby girl. So my baby girl went through surgery. And when she came out of surgery, the doctor said, no, it'll take at least, which they were high-fiving each other because she actually made it through surgery. They told Mike, we were high-fiving each other. And so after surgery, I was asking them, is she going to be okay? And they're like, we can't tell you that. We don't know. I said, is she going to be able to write music still and sing? And he said, I can't tell you. We can't give you any guarantees. We're not going to go there. He said, but it will take at least a year for her to recover. 3 months later, Jordan was taking online college courses, and she was making straight A's. That is our God. That's what God can do. So going through that, there again, I'm like, God, why? You know, isn't it enough that my husband, has been given a death sentence? My son almost did. Now my daughter. Why, God, why? But if you talk to Josh and Jordan and even Mike, Jordan has said so many times, I'm so glad I had the brain tumor. And the first time she said it, I was like, you what? And she's like, yeah, Mama, because, I was dating a guy at that time, and if I had stayed at Christ for the Nations, we probably might have gotten married. And if so, he wasn't the one. Tim's the one. So I probably would never have met Tim. And Mama, it really, even though I was at ministry school and was a good girl and doing good things, she said, my priorities have shifted so much because of that. She says, and she'll tell you, she's thankful for that. Josh and Mike, the same thing. And what has God given us through that? God has given us powerful testimonies. I can relate to spouses. I know when Andy was going, when Pam was first diagnosed with cancer, Pam, I was trying to be there for her, and I couldn't totally relate to what she was going through, but I could relate to Andy. And I told Andy, I said, I know how hard it is being the spouse of the one that might not be here, being the spouse of one that's sick. You want to make them better, and you feel helpless. I can comfort parents that have children that are going through things. And, God is so good. And on a daily basis, do we wake up and think about his heart? No, every morning when we pray, because of teaching we got under Pastor Ligon years and years ago, the power of the blessing, before Mike leaves for work every day, we pray over each other and we bless each other. And every morning, I thank God for healing Mike's body. I thank God that Mike has a new heart. I thank God that he has a strong heart. But Mike and I were talking, and this last thing I'm going to say, I told Mike, I said, I can't talk long. He said, you'll talk longer than you think. He knows me well. But Mike and I were talking when he had his last stress test. I said, baby, I just wish that God would just totally heal your heart. I said, man, what a testimony that would be. But the more we talked, we're like, you know, Mike hadn't completely healed his heart as far as the tests go, but what a testimony it is. This may even be more of a testimony, because when the doctors look and see what his heart looks like on the test and see what Mike looks like and what he does, that honestly might be more of a testimony than actually healing him. So, you know, if God wants to keep him alive till we're in our 90s or 100, that's fine. If he wants him to be on heart medication for the rest of his life, that's fine. God is God, and I trust God, and I am just so thankful for God's blessings. I'm so thankful that God is a good, good Father. I'm so thankful that his love is perfect and pure, and he knows exactly what we want, and he will sustain us. God is truly my strength. I could not make it through any of these things on my own, but God has carried me. God is my comfort, and he's my love.
You did awesome. Are you good? Well, she just preached. Wow. Awesome. Awesome. If I'd given her 30 days notice, we'd be here for a while. Genesis 50:20 says this, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Romans 8:28, we quote it almost like it's a cliche. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Baby, awesome job. Awesome. We're called in Matthew 7:7 to ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. He didn't say ask, but don't ask why. I mean, he made us so he knows we're real. Why not be real? God can handle our questions. Life doesn't always make sense. You've heard me say it before. Life is not always fair. Could we have gotten to where we are today? Could Josh be hold a doctor of English? Could he be a published author? Could Jordan be writing songs and having Bible study of ladies calling her for advice on how to raise children? Could we be doing the things that we were doing without have gone through the things that we've been through? I don't think so. I think the things that we've been through has brought us to where we are today, and the same for you. That doesn't take the pain away. The pain was definitely real for Jesus. Jesus hung there and he was in pain. That's why he asked his Father, why? God, why? But Crystal put it so perfectly. The first thing we've got to do is to trust God. We've got to trust God. Trust God. But God, why is this going on? Trust God. Trust God. Have you ever heard somebody tell you, just trust me, just trust me? You know, the first thing I think when somebody asks me or tells me that, are they trustworthy? Can I put my trust in you? Can you really assure me that you've got me here? Well, when God says to trust me, we know that he is trustworthy. He's never failed. We can trust him. Everything that he's ever said, he's done. He's always fulfilled. Now, is it our way all the time? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. But we can trust God. Could God have accomplished taking away all of our sin without hanging his son Jesus, sending him to the cross? He chose to send Jesus to the cross and to die a death that he died with the pain. It was through the pain that we've received the promise. It's through the pain that we receive the blessing of salvation and eternal life. It's through the pain that we stand here today. Now, we had a choice in the matter. God, do we trust you, or do we just go off the deep end? You've been there. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. They do good to underline the word all there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Our understanding, we think we have it figured out, but God sees the entire picture. We trust God, and that's what gives us the fuel to press on, to keep going. And I remember very, very clearly the memories that Crystal just shared with you about Josh. It was like it was yesterday, running out there, and that vehicle was going just as fast as it could go to get us there, out to the country that day. I remember the trip to Atlanta. We were just shortly behind the helicopter that arrived in Atlanta in our car, driving to Atlanta from here. I remember it very well. We were doing everything within our power, but it's when we lean on our own understanding that we're limited on what we can understand. Where God's understanding is not limited, we can trust God. We can press on. The second thing we need to do, like Crystal said, remember God's promises. What has God promised you? And she has not seen my notes, so what she shared with you is from God. Remember God's promises. Remember God's promises. What has he promised to you? He's promised to take care of things for you. He's promised to never leave you. He's promised to bless you. He's promised to prosper you. He's promised to give you a hope and to give you a future. Those are things that he's promised you. Those aren't just ideas. Those aren't wishes. That's not a Christmas list. That's a promise from God. I was thinking and praying. We have some wonderful memories of our grandchildren. Maddox just turned 1 year old this past weekend, as a matter of fact, and his sister, Bailey, and they're here more often than Josh and Kendra because of Josh being a teacher, professor at the University of Fayetteville, and also being on staff at the church. There's a worship pastor and an elder there in Fayetteville, North Carolina. But Maddox's older sister, only sister, is Bailey, and she's 4. But then Josh and Kendra's children, the oldest is Silas, and then the next one is Zelda. We call her Z. And Zelda is now 5, and Silas is 7. Well, I remember we always take a vacation with the family every year, and Silas was about 2 years old. Silas is a little man, and he's smart as a whip, and, I mean, he figures things out. And you can look at him and see his wheels are turning, and something's going on there. He can be eaten, and his wheels are turning. I mean, you just, when he gets quiet, you can watch him. You can just see it going on. Well, he was about 2 years old, and he's always been this way, about 2 years old, and we took a vacation up to Putin Bay, Putin-Bay, Ohio. It's on Lake Erie. Beautiful. I think a little under 400 acres out there, and gorgeous place. So Josh and Kendra found it, said, let's go up to Putin Bay. We got a cabin there and was sitting there, and as I was thinking, I hadn't thought about this story in a long time, and we were sitting in a restaurant there overlooking the lake that looks like the ocean, and of course he was our only grandchild at the time. He was 2 years old, so he was the only one. We're sitting there, and Jordan was with us too, and he was in his high chair, about 2 years old, and I remember watching him. He had that cup in his hand, and he would grin while he was drinking, and you saw the little twinkle in his eye. Crystal said, yes, she said, that's you, Mike Murray. A little twinkle in his eye, and he was grinning, and you knew that he was trying to plan an escape route out of that high chair. And I saw it in his eye, and I looked at him and grinned, and then he started chuckling while he was drinking. And before too long, he put that cup down, and here he was. Mama turned, and he was coming out of that chair. She said, no, Silas, no, Silas. So how did she get him there? One thing that Kendra does as a mom, she says, okay, remember what we're about to do. G-Paw and Grammy are here, and we're getting ready to go to the playground. We're going to see the sights. So she started reminding him of the promises that she made to him. And because of those promises that she had made to Silas, then 2 years old, that helped him settle down. Oh, you know what? If I'm a good boy, if I sit here and don't plan out my escape route right now, if I go ahead and sit here and eat my lunch, then we've got some other things that's coming. So even in our pain, I got to thinking that God spoke to me. He said, Mike, even in our pain, if we remember the promises that I've made to you, it helps you forget about the pain that you're currently in. Sometimes we just need to remind ourselves we need to spend a little time in the Word every single day and remember the promises that God has given us because of the pain that Jesus bore. And I know there are some real needs here this morning, but because of the pain that Jesus bore, He has made us promises that He will keep. And if we remind ourselves of those promises, even in our pain, even in our ideas of trying to get out of the situation, what can I do to move on beyond this? It's not what you can do, but it's what God has done that will get you out of the situation that you're in. But we get in a hurry. Silas wanted to go. He wanted to forget lunch. Forget lunch. I don't need nutrition right now. I'm ready to get out of here and see there's water across there. There's a park just up the street. At 2 years old, he knew that there were so many exciting things that he wanted to get to that he forgot about his mama being there to remind him of the promise that was to come. But we get in a hurry sometimes. We forget about the promises. We want to do things our way and get out there. And we know that we can take care of this thing, but God says, let me take care of it. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God are in Him, are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. God will bring good even in your pain. It doesn't take the pain away. The heart isn't healed, but God's promises is greater than what we can see. God's promises are greater than the doctor's reports. They finally talked me into, those that don't know, talked me into a defibrillator and pacemaker about, it'll be 4 years August. That's great. I just run in circles. Oh man, even more energy. That's okay. Hebrews 13:5, I've already referred to this scripture. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness, but content with such things as you have. What do you have? You have the promises of God. And here's one that He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember God's promises. Remind yourself of God's promises. Number three, remain faithful. Remain faithful. What's the first thing that we as humans want to do when we see pain around the corner? Run. Get out of here. I'm not here. This is not my idea of a fun day to be in pain. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get away from pain. But we've got to remain faithful. Why? Because number one, we trust God. Number two, we remind ourselves of God's promises. If we do those two things, the third one will come automatically. We will remain faithful because we trust Him, because we know He will fulfill His word in us. Remain faithful. Remain faithful. And if you fail, remain faithful. People that aren't with us today, maybe some of them made mistakes. You haven't made any mistakes, right? But anybody who has made mistakes, even in the mistake, if we remain faithful, God is faithful to bring us through it. If anybody here has made a mistake, if you are doing things in your own strength rather than relying on God, turn back to God and remain faithful. Remain faithful. Remain faithful. Don't run from the pain. I remember when I was young, I'd get a thank you, Elder Denny. He said, I still am. I love that. Yes, I am. That when I'd get a loose tooth, Mom would call me in the bathroom. She said, Michael, come here and let me see that loose tooth. Because it would bug me, but I don't want to say a whole lot about it because I don't want to lose my tooth. I mean, I wanted the money for it, but I didn't want to lose it. Can't we do both? Can I keep it in? But she said, Michael, come here. She knew that tooth was getting real, real loose, and I was trying to hold it in and chew around it. And so So she called me in there, and I remember this particular story. I even remember that the layout of that bathroom in Northwood Estates. And she called me in there. She said, "Let me see that tooth." So she would kind of distract me. She said, let me see. "So how was school today? Everything's good?" Yeah. And all of a sudden, she had that tooth out before I could answer her. Sometimes we run away from pain, but God wants to take the pain away from us. But we got to remain faithful. We got to put ourselves in a place for God to do his work. Remain faithful. It's when we turn and run from God that God says, "Well, I'm here when you." He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But we can definitely turn our back on God and walk away from him by saying, I don't want to go through this, God. I don't want the pain that's connected to this situation. But sometimes we need to be distracted by God's blessing. Sometimes we need to be faithful to him to say, "God, I trust you to get that tooth out of my mouth. I need to trust him for his faithfulness to me that he will cause everything to work together for good." Isaiah 30, verse 21 says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' And whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left," remain faithful. Walk in the way that God has got you to walk. It's not that most times we don't know which way to walk. It's just that we're either intentionally walking toward him, walking with him, or we're walking opposite of him to try to save ourselves from pain. Pain, Paul knew what it was like to be in pain. Paul was actually beaten several times. For his life, he knew what it was like to be in pain. And this is what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. It says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction," Paul called that light affliction. That puts it in perspective, doesn't it? Paul said, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen," that's our tendency as humans. We look at the things that are seen. We know what's going on because we can see. Well, some things are going on that we cannot see, right? It says, "We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." Why? Because the things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And it's through our remaining faithful to God, even through the thick and the thin, even through the hard times, the easy times, it's easy to praise God when everything's great. Everything's good, everybody's healthy, the bills are paid, everything's good. Praise you, God. Man, that's awesome. It's when things are tough that we still remain faithful to God. And what's the purpose of that? Is so that he will build in us endurance. Endurance. See, it's through the endurance that God builds in us that we can go farther than what we ever thought we could go. We could do far more than what we ever thought we could do. It's the strength of God. It's not what is in Mike. It's not my own strength. It's God's strength that's doing what's happening. And it's God's strength in you will cause you to do far more than what you think you can do. And Matthew 24:13 tells us the importance of endurance. It says in Matthew 24:13, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." And so it's through our faithfulness that we stay faithful to God, that we stay pressing in, pressing on, going forward, staying with him. And that endurance that he builds in us, it causes us to be not as tolerable to pain, if you will. And so through that endurance, even though there's pain around us, it doesn't affect us directly because we see it for what it is. We see a far greater eternal glory that God wants to bring about rather than the temporary. "Well, I don't want to be in pain right now." Well, get our mind on God. Get our mind on the big picture. Get our mind on what's going on that will cause endurance in us to be stronger in Him. See, our strength comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from me. It doesn't come from you, from what we can do. It doesn't come from going to the gym 4 days a week. It comes through working out the Word of God and getting His promises so in us that that's our automatic reply. That's our automatic response. I know because this is what the Word of God says. And so my faith and my trust, my hope is in God and what He says. And that pain, yes, it's real, but I can endure it. I have a low tolerance for pain because I know what God wants to do in my life. There will be pain. There will be tribulation. The Bible says that. And Jesus even learned in His pain. Hebrews 5:8 says that Jesus was a son, and yet He learned obedience by the things He suffered. Wow. Why do we need to learn obedience? Because we need to learn the importance of, as we obey God, God rewards us. You say, well, I'm not doing this for a reward. Well, okay, but He's still going to reward you. The Bible says He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So as we are obedient to Him, Jesus learned obedience. Well, I thought Jesus knew everything. Jesus knew everything because His Father taught Him everything. And so had Jesus not learned those things that God taught, it'd be like us. Why do I need to learn? Because I already know everything. You know, we were all that way at 16 years old, weren't we? We knew everything at 16. But we've got to remember that Jesus knows, God knows everything, and that He's teaching us. And through our pain, through our suffering, as Crystal talked about a while ago, He teaches us obedience. We need to learn obedience. Out of that comes faithfulness. Out of that comes endurance. And so it's a process. So don't get discouraged or don't be too hard on yourself when you say, well, why don't I ever get what I'm supposed to learn? Well, Paul had that same problem. He said, I tend to do the things that I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I need to do. Did I say that right? I don't do the things I need to, and I do the things I don't need to. Yeah, that's it. And so Paul had the same issue, and you know how close to God he was. He was beaten. And so we need to learn that what God is doing in us is a process. It's like an athlete. You don't get to be a Super Bowl quarterback overnight, right? There's a process to go through. That there's a building, there's a process from being weak to being stronger in order to accomplish that goal and that thing that you're cut out to do. God has great plans for you, by the way. In God's love, He has great plans for you. He would not have put the breath that you're breathing right now in your body had He not had plans for you. There's a plan. And let me say this too. As Chris and I were talking yesterday, I said, honey, out of all the pain that you went through in the process of the 9 months for Josh and the 9 months of pregnancy for Jordan, the pain, the changing things that were going on, would you have taken all that pain away and not done that so that Josh and Jordan was not here? She didn't blink an eye. She said, no, I would do it again. Well, now, that's something. Out of the pain that she experienced as that child grew in her womb, us guys will never know that pain. As that child grew in her womb and all the things it went through and then all the way up to the point of birth, the changes and the pain and all that she experienced, she would do it again to have Josh and Jordan here. And so with that, I want to tell you that God is birthing something in you that may require some pain. And if you're discouraged today, stay faithful to God and let that birthing come about. Don't abort what God is trying to do. And then number four, finally, I'll close with this. Let your love grow. Let your love grow. And to be honest, the first time that God gave me that title just then, I thought of Let Your Love Flow, Bellamy Brothers. Let your love grow. See, our love grows out of trusting God. Our love grows out of staying faithful to God. Let our love grow. See, either I can stifle my love for God or I can let my love grow. But we will not have love without pain. Crystal could have told a lot more stories. I'm glad she chose the ones that she did. Okay? Because she could have told some stories about a husband at that time, whoever he was a knucklehead, and she had to put up with some things that she had to, I'm kidding, but in all seriousness, she had to put up with some things that caused some pain. But she pushed through and she opened her heart up to that pain in order to receive the real love, the true love. That's the way we are. That's the way God is. He will cause us to walk through a path of sometimes tribulation, pain, things that we don't necessarily like, but it's through that path of pain that God's going to bring us to a place of true love. It's not the way that the world defines love. It's a godly love. It's a pure love. A pure love. Love that we can't fully understand with our minds. That's the love that he has for us, and we need to allow that love to grow in us. Why? So that when we begin to understand that much of God's love for us, it will cause us to understand how proud he is of you, how much he is for you, all the things before your life, during your life, and after your life that he has planned because he loves you so. If we could get a glimpse of that much of God's love for each one of us, you and I, it will cause us to do things different. Because how could God love us so much? Let your love grow. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you." It's the Lord that will cause our love to increase. And when our love increases, we can see things in a different light than what we could without God's love. We can see, God, I know that somehow you're causing all this to work for good. As Crystal said, she came to a place, God, I do trust you. Yes, let me remember, I do trust you, because now I'm reminding myself that you said you will be faithful and that you'll take care of everything. As we do that, our love for him grows and we begin to see that his love in us is so endless. I ran across a story of a Nazi prisoner as he was bound inside of a concentration camp. And this is what this Nazi prisoner scribbled on the wall of his prison cell. This is what he wrote. "I believe in the sun, even when it is not shining. I believe in love, even when I feel it not. And I believe in God, even when he is silent." It's our love for God that he wants our love to grow. Not only for him, he wants our love to grow in him, but he wants our love to grow for one another. That's why he said he came. Because he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the love that he has for us. That's the love that he wants to grow in us. For him, yes. And for one another. That's how we love, that's how we show the love of God, is by who we are. Psalm 30, verse 11 and 12 says, "Have you turned for me my mourning into dancing? You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I give you thanks. I give thanks to you forever." That's the love. That's the heart that God wants us to have today. Corporal, I'll ask you to come up. Let's all stand together this morning. If you're here today and you're asking why, you're struggling, you're in pain, things that you're facing, if you're asking why, let me tell you, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. I may not have the details. I'll help you pray and I'll give you what limited understanding I have, but God has the answer. Jesus is the answer. He's the answer to your why. He's the answer to your when. He's the answer to your where. He's the answer. And don't settle for anything but the real thing. Jesus is the real thing. Remember a long time ago, the Coca-Cola is the real thing. Jesus is the real thing. He's the real thing. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. That's what Jesus did for you and I. He laid down his life for us. He loves us so much. In your pain, he's there. In your discomfort, he's there. In your sorrow, he's there. In your why, he's there. In your sickness, he's there. In your frustration, he's there. In your lost state, he's there. He wants to be with you and not today. He wants to give you the peace that only he can give. Revelation 4:11 says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. God, you are worthy. Even with the pain, God, you are worthy because you're faithful. Lord, I trust you. Help me to remember all the promises, God, that you've made. Help me to be faithful to you, and Lord, help my love to grow more and more and more.